Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Balkrishna Industries Limited Q3 FY23 post-results conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company which are based on the beliefs, opinions and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jayraj from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Hima. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of B&K Securities, welcome to 3Q FY23 post-results conference call of Balkrishna Industries Limited. I also take this opportunity to welcome the senior management team of Balkrishna Industries Limited. We have with us today Mr. Rajeev Poddar, Joint Managing Director, and other senior members management team. I would now invite Mr. Rajeev Poddar for the opening remarks to be followed by question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
So good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. Along with me, I have Mr. Bajaj, Senior President Commercial and CFO, and also SGA, our Investor Relations Supervisor. Let me begin with performance updates. As indicated during our previous interaction, we are experiencing channel inventory clearances in our end markets. The distribution channel across globe markets has excess inventory not only in off-highway tire segment, but also other segments of tires as well. Along with this, the slow lowering of raw material prices and improvement in delivery timelines owing to better availability of containers has led to a slower reordering cycle by the channel. The end demand is still holding up, but the channel issues of reordering continues to impact the volumes. Therefore, as expected, our Q3 volumes were at 66,480 metric tons. We continue to face challenges of destocking in Q4. However, the intensity of the situation is receding on month-to-month basis. The situation has been relatively better in North America. However, recession fears can continue to impact demand. India continues to be stable, supported by better economic environment. Our EBITDA margin had two elements that broadly negated each other. The freight cost correction that we have been witnessing in the last few months has led to improvements in our margin, which is reflected in our freight cost, which now stand at approximately 9% of sales in Q3 versus approximately 14% in the previous quarter. We expect further benefit on the account of freight to reflect in Q4 and fully in Q1 of FY24. Please also note, we have lowered the surcharge to end customers on account of freight, and the same is reflected in our average selling price, which has moved down by 6% on Q-on-Q basis. The aspect which impacted our margins negatively and almost negated the benefit of freight costs were raw material costs. Please note that while raw material prices have corrected, we could not fully enjoy the benefits due to high cost of raw materials in our inventory. Further, lower volumes clocked in Q3 led to a lower absorption of fixed costs as against the expectations of a higher volumes built at the start of the financial year. We expect some improvement in Q4 and a meaningful recovery in margins in FY24. Lower raw materials and freight costs, better hedge rates, better end market situation gives us ample hope of margin recovery in financial year 24. Let me now update you on the CapEx. The capex of carbon black project along with the power plant has been completed. With the commissioning of 55,000 metric ton per annum, our achievable capacity stands at 170,000 metric ton per annum. The advanced carbon black project of 30,000 metric ton per annum is on track, and we expect to commission the same by the end of the current quarter or early part of next quarter. The capex for brownfield capacity addition of 25,000 at Waluj has commenced. We expect the same to be completed in the first half of next financial year. Post completion of this brownfield project, Waluj will have a total capacity of 55,000 tons at a single location. At a company level, our achievable capacity will increase back to 360,000 metric ton per annum by end of first half of financial year 24. With this, I now move on to operational highlights. Our sales volume for the quarter was at 66,480 metric ton, a degrowth of 5% year on year. For 9 months, sales volume stood at 228,505 metric ton, a growth of 8% year on year. Our standalone revenue for the quarter stood at rupees 2,215 crores, which includes realized gain on foreign exchange pertaining to sales of 73 crores. For 9 months, revenue stood at 7,748 crores, which includes realized gain on foreign exchange pertaining to sales of 255 crores. For the 9 months of financial year 23, 49% of the sales came from Europe, 21% from India, 19% from America, and the balance from rest of the world. In terms of channel contribution, 70% was contributed from replacement segment, while OEM contributed to 28%, with the balance coming from offtake. In terms of category, agricultural segment contributed to 63%, while OTR, industrial and construction contributed 34%, and the balance came from other segments. The standalone EBITDA for the quarter was at rupees 423 crore with a margin of 19.1%, while for 9 months it was recorded at 1534 crore, translating to a margin of 19.8%. Other income for the quarter stood at rupees 43 crore, while unrealized loss stood at 166 crore. The sharp rise in euro rates in Q3 to the tune of 10% impacted our forex borrowing, leading to M2M loss. Other income for 9 months stood at 86 crore, while unrealized loss stood at 91 crore. Coming to net forex item, for the quarter, net forex loss of rupees 80 crore, which includes realized gain of rupees 78 crore and unrealized loss of rupees 166 crore. For 9 months financial year 23, we had a net forex gain of 198 crore, which includes realized gain of rupees 289 crore and an unrealized loss of 91 crore. Profit after tax stood for the quarter was recorded at 100 crore versus for 9 months financial year, it stood at rupees 823 crore. Our gross debt stood at rupees 3,464 crore at the end of 31st December 22, of which about 75% is relating to the working capital debt. Our cash and cash equivalents were rupees 2,082 crore. All the capex programs bearing carbon black are over. We have minor amounts and retention monies to be spent. For Q3 financial year 23, the euro hedge was at rupees 85. Forward hedge rate currently stands at rupees 86 for the financial year 23 due to the sharp uptick in euro rate. For financial year 24, we were able to achieve rupees 87 for financial year 24. The board of directors have declared a third interim dividend of rupees 4 per share. This is in addition to an earlier interim dividend of rupees 8 per share. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and leave the floor open for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your question to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. We take the first question from the line of Binay Singh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, team. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on the volume side and second on margins. So on the volume side, could you update us on the inventory levels that you have now? You had added that it's around 3 months in the September conference call. Where is inventory now? What is the ideal level of inventory you would like to go at? And linked to that, when we look at the volume breakdown by region, we see that the biggest drop sequentially is in the U.S. market, in the North America market. So if you could comment a little bit on that also. That's the first question. Thanks.
So when you asked about the inventory, I'm assuming that it's for raw material. We would ideally like to be around 45 days. We are currently between 60 and 65 days.
Sir, I meant inventory at the dealer level of the stock, of the tire stock. Because earlier we had talked about that we are destocking inventory. So we were at 3 months in September. We were trying to bring it down to 2 months.
So it has come down to about 2.5.
Okay, so that process will continue into the coming quarter.
Yes.
And sir, within the breakdown of volumes, we see that the biggest sequential drop is in the North America market. So could you talk a little bit about that? That on a YOY basis, it has grown well, but sequentially, we see a sharp drop. Is it due to seasonality or something?
Yes, it's the seasonality, but we are overall not very concerned about that. America is going well for us.
And sir, secondly, on the margin side, if I look at your other expenses, excluding freight costs, they have also sequentially gone up. So any comments on that? What was the driver there?
So basically some minor promotional activities which have been done, which have come into account, being accounted in that quarter.
Okay, so to an extent, this should sort of normalize back in the coming quarter.
Yeah.
Great, great. I'll come back in the queue for follow-on questions.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Firstly, on this, your gross debt numbers, what is the interest cost we now have on the working capital and long term debt? Because I think the LIBOR rates and everything has gone up over the last 1 year.
Between 3.5% and 4%.
Okay, 3.5% to 4%, and this is true for both your working capital as well as long term debt.
Yeah, I've given you the average for both. Long term is lower, but if you include the working capital and everything, that gives you the average.
Okay, okay. And in terms of demand, I mean, you say that retail is still holding up and inventory correction has now moderated. So can we go to say 75,000-80,000 tons can run rate from Q4 or Q1? Is that visibility coming through? Because we are already in Feb right now.
It's too early to comment on
Okay, and lastly, on the demand side, is it like across the board the volumes are contracted across construction and mining or and agri, or maybe mining is still holding up, and what's the current sense on that?
Yeah, so agri is more affected. Industrial construction is yet still holding up.
Okay, okay. Thank you. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Arvind Sharma from Citi. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good morning, sir. And thank you for taking my questions. Two from my side. First, on the realizations, this decline, is it entirely attributable to the lower surcharge, or is there a mixed impact as well? I'm talking about ASPs.
So it is only due to the lower surcharge.
So apart from that, there is no change quarter on quarter.
Yes.
Sir, secondly, and more accounting question, in the reported format, not the presentation, but the reported format, where are your unrealized FX losses, that 177 crores, where is it located in the reported format?
It is included in the other expenditure, in the reported format.
Okay, so that could be one of the reasons why it would have gone up, right? That 177 crores there, incremental this quarter, because And the FX gains, I believe, were reported as a part of the other income.
Yes, yes.
Right. All right, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Sonal Gupta from HSBC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my question. So just continuing with this ASP decline versus the freight surcharge. So essentially, this should not be negative for your numbers, right? Like, I mean, what's going out of the top line is going out of cost as well. I mean, like in absolute EBITDA per ton basis.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the freight rates have contracted, and that is why the ASPs have come down.
Right, right. I mean,
when you say that, you know, in the earlier quarters, they were never passed on, so that burden is yet fully, they were not fully passed on. So that is why the impact is yet coming. It is getting negated.
Right. No, so if I see, like, on a per ton basis, your freight cost would be down, like, say, like $250 per ton, and your ASP is down more than that. So just trying to understand, what is the factor here, and is that, like, because like you mentioned that your freight cost was only, some amount of freight cost decline was not passed on, freight cost increase was not passed on to customer. So ideally your ASP decline should be lower than the decline in freight cost, right?
So we were not able to pass through in the earlier quarters, we were not able to pass through the full amount, thereby it was impacting on our, it was coming on our ASP. But now, with that being withdrawn, even this has come down.
Yeah, so, but I'm just trying to understand, so are there any other factors that are driving the ASP down other than the freight?
No
other factors. And and this decline should not really be negative for margins, right? Because
no, there is no change of the product mix, or there is no change in the overall working or principle of the company. So that has no other impact on ASP apart from the freight.
And just coming back to the question on other expenses other than freight, I mean, we've seen like a 50 crore quarter-on-quarter increase. So is that, you're saying, mainly marketing spend, or are there other factors which have driven, like, because the level of activity has gone down, right? Like, your volumes are down 16% QOQ, but your other expenses, ex freight, is up 10%.
So mainly it is the benefit of, I mean, marketing expense which has gone up, and also some foreign exchange gain which is loss which is coming to account.
FX loss.
So typically when you have a net forex loss, it sits in the other expenses, which is why on a quarter-on-quarter basis the other expenses look higher. If you negate the loss situation, the quarters may look slightly more comparable. In quarters where there is a net forex gain, it sits in other income.
So could you quantify that? How much is the loss?
The loss for Q3 this quarter on a net basis is about 88 crores. That is what is sitting additionally in the other expenses, which if you negate, looks more comparable from a QOQ basis.
Got it, sir. So this is on current liabilities and current assets that related to that, right?
That's right.
Got it. Great, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Siddhartha Bera from Nomura Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, again, on this realization drop, will it be fair to say that the competition would have taken similar cuts as well, and our discount versus the Tier 1 players of about 10 to 15%, which we have maintained, that remains largely where it is?
So the difference of between us and the Tier 1 yet continues to be the same. Their costs have also gone up, being in the Western world, the power costs and also they have also been the difference is currently being maintained.
Okay, so you're saying they also must have taken similar cuts in the surcharge which they were charging to customers.
They may have not passed it on in form of surcharge, but in other ways, I'm not sure. But the difference in the end product remains the same.
Okay, and on the freight cost, obviously they have come down, but we expect more reduction in the coming quarters. So that should again lead to a commensurate drop in ASPs as and when we pass on those surcharges as well.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And sir, on this RM side, we had a higher cost inventory in the Q3, but looking at current levels, how much commodity cost benefit per ton can we expect in the coming quarters from Q3 levels?
We can't give you exact quantification on that, but it will definitely come down.
I mean, in high single digits can be the right assumption or in terms of per ton decline?
No, we can't quantify that.
Okay. And the last question is on the CapEx side. If you can highlight in 9 months, how much have we done? And any thought you have for the next year as well?
Around 1300 crore has been done in the 9 months.
1300 crore?
Yes.
Okay. So that is largely for the whole year, or you expect something more in Q4?
There will be some minor amounts which are left over because all our projects are over, apart from the carbon black and the brownfield project at Aurangabad, at Palooch.
Okay. Understood, sir. Okay. And any number for next year, if you can share?
Around 300 crores. 300 to 400 crores.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Priya Rajan from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So my question is related to the volume, the whatever we have in terms of what we were used to do around 78,000, 80,000 in a couple of quarters, and then we have again come back to roughly 66,000, 70,000. So is it ideal to assume like say 70,000, 75,000 number is the right number? Because in previous quarter there has been overstocking in this channel and the demand is actually of around 70,000-75,000. Is this the right way to look at?
Sir, it is too early to give a view on the volumes for next year, but trends are slowly improving.
Okay. Okay. And what is the net debt number right now? At the third quarter?
Around 1350 crores.
1350 crores. Okay. And just coming back to on the cost element, so the on the raw material side, gradually, are you seeing any kind of inventory still left of the previous high cost inventory, or do you think now the normalized level of inventory will, the pricing of the inventory will be there in the system?
Inventory is still higher. But the reduction you will see next quarter also. In the coming quarter, there will be reduction, and from April onwards, we can expect the normal price.
Understood. And just on the pricing front, so because there has been some inventory destocking, etc., so do you see the industry level there has been some price correction as well, apart from whatever you have done in terms of surcharge, etc.? Mm-hmm. Is there some pressure in terms of pricing as well in the industry? Mm-hmm.
No, not at the moment.
Not at the moment. But it can come back. Because
today, but we are not seeing any of this because the surcharges which have come have already had a positive impact on the pricing. So it's difficult to say.
Okay. Okay. And how much extra surcharge is still left? I guess it was around 5 to 6% earlier. The cost of freight cost used to be, it has got up to like 14%, so 6% you have already corrected. So is it fair to assume that 3-4% can additionally be cut when the entire freight cost normalizes?
No, so basically our surcharge from 1st January has come to zero for most of the regions. So whatever you, as you rightly said, whatever freight benefit you will see, it will have an impact on the positive side of the margin.
Understood. Understood. But surcharge you will not, I mean, it's almost zero now.
From 1st January.
Yeah, understood. Understood. Thank you, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Mumkesh Mandlesha from MK Global. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Sir, the off-highway tire segment continue to remain on positive trajectory. Can you guide what kind of growth expected going ahead, sir?
Low single digit.
And sir, on the rest of world region, sir, which has witnessed a decline on year-on-year basis, despite the better availability of capacity, sir. So what drove the correction, contraction in this, those markets, sir?
Could you repeat your question? The voice was muffled.
Yeah, so the rest of the world regions have witnessed a decline on year-on-year basis in terms of volume-wise, despite the having better availability of capacity, sir. So what drove the correction in those markets, sir?
It's just the economic cycle, seasonal factor.
Right, sir. Sir, can you guide a path to improve the margin to the target range of 20% to 30% over the coming quarters? So what will lead to those target range, sir?
Meaningful recovery in EBITDA and due to raw material and freight cost will give at least 300 basis points in the financial 24.
So 300 basis improvement due to RM and freight in FY24 you expect, right?
Yes, yes.
Got it.
At least this is the minimum at least, yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, sir. Couple of clarifications. One is with respect to the forward hedge rate, you indicated 86 against euro would be for fourth quarter FY23.
So that is for the full year.
That is for the full year. For the January, okay. February, March, we have 50% hedge at the rate of 89.
Okay. Right. And for FY24, we indicated 87. So is that for our entire exposure or that is
average we have taken, but currently we have covered up to 50%, which is also at 89.
Okay. 50% exposure is at 89. Okay. Got it. And second clarification was with respect to the RM cost benefit. So you did you indicate that we expect the benefit of lower RM cost to reflect from April 23 onwards? By then our high cost inventory will be totally absorbed?
You will see some correction in the January to March also, but full recovery from the April onwards.
Okay, got it. And third question was pertaining to the freight cost side. So are we also passing on the freight cost benefit for contracts which are on CIF basis or this is only for contracts where which are on FOB basis?
FOB basis question does not arise, but on CIF basis, yes, whatever surcharge we have added that we have withdrawn from 1st of January.
Got it. And lastly, with respect to the U.S. market, we have seen YY decline of 9% in volumes. So is that a reflection of inventory correction or this is any market which is weak?
General market condition.
Okay, not the inventory correction related impact.
No, general market.
Got it. Great, sir. Thanks. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. Two questions from my side, mostly on the volume side. You have talked about that dealer inventory levels have come down to 2.5 months. I'm assuming you are giving an average number for Europe and US. typically, what is the normalized inventory levels that we should be looking at given our regional mix? And second point you talked about was that end market demand is holding up well. What we understand is that in Europe, especially in the agri segment, there is a double-digit volume decline. Is that not the case, or what exactly do you mean when you say demand is holding up well? There's a decline, there's a growth, it's flattish. How should we look at the demand side, especially in the agri segment that I'm talking about?
So what we understand from our dealers, they are able to sell what they were selling. So that is why we are telling end-to-end market demand is intact. However, due to the raw material price decrease they were expecting, and they were not having the space to unload the further tires, which they were keeping higher inventory during the COVID times. So they are liquidating that inventory. Once that correction is over, the full cycle should start.
And so the
has already started reducing.
Normalized inventory levels, how should we look at from 2.5 months? How much more room is there to for the inventory levels?
So 45 to 60 days normally minimum they will keep.
Okay. And just one follow-up on this. Typically, when RM prices come down so sharply that we have seen, there is some price correction also that happens in the market, and probably that is another reason why dealers are not or looking to lower the inventory levels. Are you seeing any signs or any price cuts happening or gradual pass on of happening of lower RM costs by any players or by yourself in Europe or the US market?
So far, we have not come across. Only the shipping surcharge which we were charging, that we have passed from the first of January.
None of your peers have taken any price cut, or do you see any price cut happening? Because the RM costs have come down very sharply.
No, no, it's not. We have not come across so far. We have not heard from our dealer.
Okay. And just one last thing on accounting thing, this unrealized losses that you have, these will be largely for the working capital, because your debt levels are fairly low, right? So the currency fluctuation happening, your receivables and payables, and that is the main reason why you are seeing these kind of unrealized losses coming, or this also pertains to the future hedges of revenues that you have done, and you are getting some mark-to-market losses on that?
Nishit, this is largely due to the borrowings that are there in the system.
Only borrowings, not the working capital, is it?
No, working capital debt and the long-term debt that's there on the books.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Pramod Amthe from InCred Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, sir. This is with regard to the ASP, where you are talking about freight cost. Can you help us understand in the bigger market like Europe, what is the extent of imports from Asia, and what is the extent of locally produced one for overall as an industry?
Like for
finished goods
or for raw material?
No, no, sir. For the finished goods, for whatever Europe agri tire consumption happens, what is the extent of imports from Asia? Because only the Asia imports might be the ones which might have been reducing the freight cost, right? Not the locally manufactured ones.
Difficult for us to estimate where from they are importing.
We don't have those numbers.
No, are they 15%, 20%, or are they 50%
No,
of the industry?
No idea. No idea.
So the reason why I was asking is, if this is the case and the other guys are holding on, you are cutting it, so you might be competitively priced more now versus the maybe 6 months back when the freight price was going up?
Difficult to put a number. It's very difficult to answer.
And second one is with regard to the overall industry itself, again, Europe. Looking at your volume decline versus the, again, industry decline, there seems to be almost on par, like 15-16% QOQ decline. So then why do you say that you have cut the inventory versus the industry is also falling in a similar manner? One. Second, would you be, since now this is an issue for last 1 or 2 quarters, would you be able to disclose on a regular basis what are your retail volumes versus wholesale volumes, so we can get some more color in terms of what's the underlying demand?
No, we don't have that data. We don't get that data.
Difficult to get data of the retail volume, so it will be very difficult to provide that number on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Since you said the dealer inventory has reduced by 15 days, so you may be having the retail versus wholesale, right?
What we understand from our dealers, that we have only informed.
And the last one is with regard to cost. Since the margins have been under pressure for last couple of quarters, and now you are almost running, nearing your completion of CapEx, would you be focusing now on cost reduction so that you can come back to the your normalcy of corporate margins much sooner? If that is the case, where you want to focus on the cost side?
So, we are always conscious about the cost part, but once the volume increases, it will definitely come down.
So you will wait for operating leverage to play out?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Abhishek from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, you have recently done full automation and modernization of goods plant and also invited dealers and clients for plant visit. So how is the customer feedback and how much benefit you will get in terms of the operational efficiency? And what is your plan to reduce power cost?
So customer feedback is, good because they are getting a more, the product is much more consistent. So that is what we are getting from them. Regarding power reduction or any other efficiency improvement, it is a continuous journey that we do at BKT. There is no destination. Every time we reach a new milestone, that becomes a benchmark and we continue to try to improve from there.
Okay. Sir, in past, you have done a lot of the land acquisitions near Bhuj. So, what is your long-term plan for capacity addition in both tires and the carbon black?
We are evaluating. We have not made up any firm decision yet. As and when we do, we will let everybody know after the board's approval.
Okay, sir. So, right now the current capacity is still at 55,000. Can we assume that in the next 2 years we can reach to the 5 lakh kind of the number?
We can't give you a number on that or comment on that because as of now we have not drawn up anything and neither have we gone to the board. So it's difficult to put a number and say we can get there or we can't get there. At the moment what we are saying is by end of financial year of first half of next year, our number will go to 360,000 tons. Our capacity.
And my last question is related with your expansion on network. So what have you done to strengthen your global network in last couple of quarters? And how do you see opportunity in the South American market?
So we have built our local network and strengthened it. And of course, that is done because we see an opportunity for us to grow. That is our view.
So what is the contribution of the South American market in overall volume right now?
We don't break it up into South and North America. We can give you for Americas. The total Americas is currently contributes to about 19% from America.
For 9 months.
For 9 months.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Ankit Kanodia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So, sir, after the result, as in Q1 FY23 result, we made a commentary regarding the cautionary or the recessionary situation in Europe. But when we look at the volumes in Q2 and Q3, looks like the Europe volumes have been pretty resilient. Can you throw some light on this as to what is happening in the industry and how are we positioned there?
So as we mentioned that yes, Europe is under recessionally, so we are also seeing that. And there is destocking at the dealer network, so we are continuing to see that. The retail is holding up the demand, and that is why we are confident of getting some numbers back in the coming quarters. The trend seems to be positive at the moment.
And how are we doing in terms of market share there? I'm not looking at any number, but how are we doing? Is our market share increased during this period or remain largely the same?
Stable. Our market share is stable. So, okay. We have not lost market share.
Okay. My next question is on the CAPEX thing. So, largely, most of our CAPEX has been done, and as per your presentation, the carbon black project and also the Waluj brownfield CAPEX, I think both will be done by maximum by Q1 FY24.
Yes.
So, is it fair to assume that next year, FY24, we'll get double benefit, one from the operating leverage if the volumes go up, and also from the point of view of incrementally we'll see our interest and depreciation not rising much or probably going down. As in depreciation can't go down, but incrementally it will not rise. Is it fair to agree?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Just one thing on the, how do we plan to ramp up the carbon black? I think the specialty carbon black will be mostly sold outside. And do we, what kind of contribution we are seeing the normal carbon black sales from the overall top line?
Around, so carbon black will be about 5% of top line, and specialty will be sold outside only 100%.
And the additional 55,000 ton, which is the normal carbon black, that will all mostly consume in-house, or that will also have some?
So that will have some sales outside. But overall, our sales turnover, about 5% will be, carbon black will be sold outside.
And specialty, I mean, do we have identified the market, and how should we look at the ramp up of that specialty?
Well, yes, we have identified markets. We are going to do testing, so we can ramp up in about a year's time.
Understood. Thank you. Thank you. That's all.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Aniket Matri from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Aniket, your line is in talk mode, sir. Please go ahead with your question. Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Just a quick clarification, sir. When you said low single digit growth, you meant this for near term or for FY24?
At this moment, we are only commenting on near term. So we are commenting on the near term. There will be low single digit.
So that's one should expect for Q4, basically.
Yes.
And when you said the benefit from raw material and freight of about 300 basis points, that would be after, I mean, the entire benefit would flow in from Q1 FY24, right?
Yes.
So by when should one expect our margins to bounce back to 28 to 30%? Could you guide, could you provide any guidance?
So on the quarter, when you asked about the volume, I'm just reiterating to clarify, you quarter on quarter, it will be better, little better. So sequentially.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sequentially it will be a bit better. Okay. And on margins, when can we go back to the our guidance of 20 to 30%?
We are working towards that. I mean, we've always mentioned that in the long term we would like to be at that. So basically there is no principle change in the way we operate over here. These are minor cyclic effects which are coming in, but we expected to we would like to go back to you know there. But in the next coming quarters, we will have a meaningful recovery in EBITDA due to raw material and freight costs going down. We expect it to be to around 300 basis points from current level, at least.
Sure. So from current levels of 19%, you expect 300 basis points improvement at least by Q1. And
yes.
Any forex benefit would be over and above that.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Mr. Lokesh from Valam Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Rajiv and team. A couple of questions from my end. One is on the forex on the unrealized loss of 166 crore attributed to borrowing. If you can share the average duration for these borrowings, ballpark number would be fine.
So average duration is 3 years for long term and 6 months for short term.
Okay, so is it fair to assume then if, you know, in, let's say in the next 6 months, the euro is at 88 and it does not come down, this this provision would not be written back. Is it fair to assume that?
Yes.
We are at the current rate today.
Yes.
Great. Second, Rajiv, on the ASP front, so you're seeing raw material prices coming down. Going forward, how would you like to play this? Would you pass it on to your dealers, or would you want to play this with volume which is coming up with your
At the moment, we'll wait and watch. Because what is happening in the industry, how everybody is moving, what is happening. So it's too early to comment. We have not made up our mind. But we are waiting and watching.
May I ask for what the market demand is and how the situation is?
Yes. Yes.
Great. Thank you so much. That's on my end.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Mr. Tanish from Asian Market Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, this is Mayur. Just wanted to understand. So now that we've been hearing that you know, China is kind of reopened and would normalize production, have you seen any trend of the Chinese tires coming back into the European replacement market yet, or all of that yet needs to be factored in?
No, it is not. We've not seen any such trend.
Okay, and is it fair to assume that you would have significantly gained because tires from Russia and China both were possibly not there, and since the European counterparts would have seen some significant increase in their operating cost as well due to high energy cost, we would have gained. Is it fair to assume that we will be able to retain most of this gain, or you could see some loss of share once all of these factors also kind of normalize?
So we would we can retain those gains.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. First would be over the medium term, right? I mean, what kind of market share gains should we assume? Because in the past, you have mentioned that you are somewhere at 5-6% market in the relevant market that you are present in. I mean, you know, 2-3 years back, I think this number was 3-4%. So could you help us understand as we enter new markets, as the local dynamics in some of the markets where we are present changes, is it fair to assume that the market share gains will accelerate year on year over the medium term?
So currently we are, as you mentioned, 5-6%. Our aspiration is to go to 10%. We are trying to accelerate this growth to reach our goal. But how much will it accelerate in the midterm is difficult to say. We will be prepared for it and we are ready to reach those numbers.
But is there anything happening in the market which gives you confidence that this 10% number would be achievable, sooner rather than what we had previously assumed? Is there anything happening in the market that gives you that confidence, or not yet?
So I think we are working from whatever we can do. We are working. We are creating the distribution. We are creating the product, and of course, we are, you know, over the last 3-4 years, we are putting in a lot of money in marketing. So the brand recognition will go up. Brand promotion is being done. So those things will always have an impact.
Sure. And so my second question is on your treasury book, right? I mean, if I'm not wrong, cash and cash equivalent at the end of this quarter is also somewhere close to 2,000 odd crores, right? In some sense, and we have, yes, we carry on that as well. And there have been questions in the past, and you mentioned that you want to play that yield advantage that we have. And if I look at your annual report for FY22, I see lots of different types of investment in direct equities, in some of the AIFs, in some of the venture capital funds as well. So could you help us understand as to what kind of an objective does the board or the senior management provide to treasury, and what kind of constraints does the treasury team work with, and what are the expertise of the treasury team to make some of these investment into VC funds and some of the AIFs as well, if you can help us understand that?
So as we had earlier mentioned, that was done for short-term parking. So we have already done that. We have already guided that we will be slowly moving that money towards repayment and also towards future capital capex expansion.
Sure, but are there any constraints? Are there any yield targets that you give your treasury team, or are there any no-go areas which our treasury team work with? While I understand that this was short term and now that we are in the capex mode, If you have some constraints with which they work with, it would be great for us.
The no-go zones are basically, they cannot do anything that is firstly risky. We don't do, I mean, the short-term papers, safe papers, government papers mainly, which gives us good protection on the principal as well as gives us a good, I mean, yield. So that is the objective.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot for these answers and all the rest.
Thank you, sir. We take the next question from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have two or three questions. One is, you mentioned that starting Jan 1st, the freight surcharge has gone to zero. So how much further ASP decline should we think of when we think of 4Q, you know, compared to 3Q?
Very much.
Okay. The second thing is, the second question that I had was in relation to how the pricing of BKT tires is in, say, Europe compared to the peers. So, you know, in the past you mentioned that you'd like to keep the price discount versus the larger peers at about 12-15%. Now, with the levy of freight surcharge, had that discount narrowed, or was it still at 12-15%? And now, with the removal of the surcharge, it will increase further. How should we think about the pricing there versus the peers compared to the 12-15% discount range that you had given us earlier?
We have always indicated that we would be 12-15%. We tried to be as close, but yes, of course, during the last couple of quarters it had gone down to maybe between 11-13%, which we are now going to take it back to 12-15%. But again, I reiterate that our principal policies of operating the business are not changing. We would like to maintain all the same principles that we were being running the business with. So that will continue.
Understood. And so the last question that I had was in relation to, end demand. So I think this question has been asked by previous callers in this call. But so what I'm trying to figure out is, when you mentioned that currently volumes are impacted by destocking, it automatically implies that in the preceding quarters there was overstocking. So what I'm trying to figure out is, when I look at the average volume, say in the March quarter, the June quarter, September quarter, which was about 80,000 tons per quarter, how much of it was, inflated by overstocking by dealers, and in those quarters, what was the, what is the volume implied by the genuine underlying, end retails?
So there was about 5-10% overstocking at their level as well.
So you're saying that those 80,000 numbers, when I look at the quarterly numbers, March quarter was 77, June was 83, September 79. So you're saying out of this, about 5-10 was, was overinflation because of overstocking by dealers. Is that the right? Understood, sir. Thank you. That's all I had.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saif Kuchar from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you for this opportunity. So just regarding the Indian operations, so this quarter we had around 15,972 tons out of the 66,480 tons this quarter from India. So is there any focus on increasing the market share from Indian operations, or it is just like a hedge from the European operations?
No, we are working actively to increase the margin. In India, we have always mentioned that it is an area of opportunity for us to grow. And you can see that if you look at the last 2 or 3 years, we have, of the bigger pie also, increased our market share in India. So that will continue to be there. It's not a hedge against Europe or anything. It's a targeted approach that we have made to grow in it.
So how is the strategy here? Since there wouldn't be any significant low-cost advantage as we enjoy in overseas operations, right? So how
but
do you...
We are yet competitive in the marketplace. At the end of the day, we are selling ourselves and our quality is being accepted. Our brand is now being recognized. And all those things are placing us as a premium product, and we are competing with them and selling.
And it would be more towards the agri side or the off-highway side, particularly
both.
In India? Yeah.
Agri is also off-highway side, but agri and mining, both industrial, all segments of ours we are pushing in India.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for taking our time to join us. See you next time. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.